Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Love, like everything else, often has a second act. And what that means is that us late bloomers, us over 40 and fabulous, we can often find love too. In fact, today's guest has a series of love stories specifically for us, and we'll talk to her about love, writing, and life in this episode of the Get It Together Girl podcast.
If you were looking for more than just girl talk, look no further. It's fun, it's feisty, it's fabulous. It's the Get It Together Girl podcast with me, your host, Karen Beach.
Okay, I buy books online like everybody else in 2015, but there's something about a bookstore. And I used to be a fan of Borders, and now I guess I go to Barnes & Noble and this place, this kind of quirky, cool place called Fourth and Charles. But you can go to any bookstore, and I bet this is also true about online, and find a whole section devoted to teens and young adults. And there's love stories there that, you know, maybe make you remember your fond young adult days. But I want something to read that speaks to me and who I am right now at 47, and not who I was way back when. So what's a grown woman to do? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You grab a book by Betsy Talbot. That's what you do. She has a series of novellas. It's the Late Bloomer series. And she follows five lifelong friends who are in their 40s as they look for and find love and adventure, and they travel the world. And I actually read two of them yesterday to prepare for this, and they were great. And if 40 is the new 20, then these women and us women in this age group still have a lot to expect. Experience, a lot of love to give and to have, and a lot of growth to do. And I can't wait to talk to Betsy about it. So, Betsy, welcome to Get It Together, Girl.
Hi, Karen. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. What made you decide to write the Late Bloomer series?
Well, it came about for a variety of reasons, but the biggest one, I'll say, is just like what you said at the top of the show. I got sick and tired of thinking that there was nothing out there for me at this time in my life where I feel I have the most to give, I have the most experience, the most confidence that I've ever had, and now I'm resorted to reading stories about 17 and 18-year-old people, or worse yet, someone who's looking for a billionaire to save the day. That is not what my life looks like. That's not what my friends look like. And I wanted something that reflected who I was and what was going on in my life. And, you know, Toni Morrison says, if you can't find the book that you want to read, it's your job to write it. Now, of course, I'm paraphrasing her because she probably said it way better than I just did. But that's essentially what I did. I find the stories that I wanted to read about women my age, so I started making them up myself.
And like I said, I read two, and they're novellas which speak to people like me who just kind of get ADD. So I can sit there and read a whole book and really enjoy it and see women that, like you said, relate to me and who I am and who my friends are. And I love the way you set it up. These women are really interesting, really engaging, and they have experiences that maybe some women don't have, because, I mean, these are world-traveling women, but they're all women that we can relate to. And I really appreciated that.
Well, that's what I love to write, is about, you know, five different women. And the books that you read, it sounds like you got the first two novellas. There are actually, the rest of the books are actually full-length books, although, you know, there you can always get short stories about these same women at my website. But the what I wanted to do was showcase five women who were all friends together, but they each had really distinct personalities, distinct histories, and they were looking for different things in life. Because, you know, no matter how much you love your friends and how much you identify with them, you may not think that their dream man is your dream man, or their life is the life that you want to have. You know, we are all different, and I think we can learn a lot by watching other people and by paying attention to what goes on with them, because you may not want everything that they have, but you may learn a few things to get something in your life that you want. So I loved writing these stories, and some of them, some of the women have traits that are more personal to me, and some of them are completely different than me. And I have to say, I enjoy the most the ones that are completely different than me.
You know, and it's funny you would say that, because one of the questions that I had for you, because I'm a writer as well, and mostly what I've written workbooks for Get It Together Girl, but I've also written several screenplays.
Ooh.
And what I was going to ask you is, like, in every screenplay I write, there's a character that is based on a little bit of me. It's not always the main character, but that is the character that's easier to write, because she sounds like me. She says what I say. And then other characters, I have to go and look. I mean, I have one guy who was based on the judge on the show Texas Justice. So I had him saying all sorts of, you know, that dog don't hunt and stuff like that that I never say. But how much of you is in your characters?
Well, you know, I've written a nonfiction book that was a memoir about my own love story with my husband, and I will tell you that writing fiction is far more personal and revealing than writing a memoir. At least that's how I feel. Now, no one knows what I'm revealing is me or not. I mean, it could be made up. It could be an aspect of me. But I feel very exposed because I know. And so the truth of it is that every single one of these characters has part of me in it. Every single one of these characters also has parts of people that I admire or people that maybe I don't admire in it as well. So it's all based on my life experience, my travels around the world, the people that I've met along the way. And so, again, there is a lot of me in every character, but it's weird parts of me that you would probably not know unless you were me. So, again, I feel really exposed doing that, but in a way that I know it's still perfectly anonymous, which is what makes it bearable.
Right, because you spread yourself over characters and things you think and things you might not want attributed to you, like in your memoir. You can say under the guise of someone else.
Well, there's little things. Like, I have, I am in love with spy movies. I love spy movies. I want to be a spy. I mean, secretly. Well, I guess not so secretly now that I've said it out loud. But I made one of my characters really like spy movies. It's a tiny little detail, but it's one that I can really infuse a lot of life into because it's something that I love. And it makes it a quirky part of her personality, and they tease her a little bit for it. So there are little things like that, as well as big, you know, romantic things and overarching you know, life themes that are in there as well. But, you know, again, there's a lot of it that's also based on people that I like and admire, and it makes it a really interesting character to write.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about a script that I wrote called Pushing Platinum, and the reason I wrote it the way I wrote it, it's about a couple on the eve of their 20th anniversary. And the way I reason I selected 20 is because you can't get really people that are not in their 40s to play these characters. You know, these mm-hmm. people have been together a certain length of time, and one of them has become like the super alpha, and she's like in control. And her husband has been the one that sort of acquiesces and lets her, you know, take control. But over the years, it's eroded him, and it's frustrated her. And people say, well, which one are you? And I'm like, well, I'm a little of both. There's a little bit of me in each of those characters. You know, I know what it's like.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The hard-driving person, but I also know what it's like to sort of give in a little bit too much.
Writing, in a way, is like therapy because we get to battle out our inner demons a little bit and explore some of the themes of our lives. You know, some of the things that we do now that we didn't used to do, or things that we used to do that we don't know that we no longer do, things
right,
that we wish we would do differently. Yes. You get to explore all of those things.
Definitely. And that's one of the things that I like about writing, because you can create people, really. You're creating characters. And I know I was doing my research, and you said that women of our age, women with some experience, make the best characters.
Yes. Imagine how much history that we have, how much experience we have, all the things that have shaped us up to this point and beyond. That simply does not exist for a 22-year-old character. It doesn't matter what you've gone through at 22, you don't have that breadth of experience. And there are things that pull at a character this age that don't pull at a character that's younger, simply because of time. I mean, one of my characters has a grown daughter that she had when she was very young. And so, of course, her life is completely different than someone who is, well, her daughter's age. And so I think that when you put a character like that, one that is still vibrant and looking for adventure in their life, and you marry that with the history and the experiences that they have and the friendships that they've made along the way, it just makes for a really layered, rich tapestry of a story that you can't get. I think when your characters are younger, certainly you can have a great story. I mean, I've read tons of books with, you know, great younger characters. But so many of those are driven by plot and what is happening to that character in that moment. They're trying to get through a struggle or a Hunger Games type of experience.
They're trying to get some of that experience that we already
exactly.
have.
Exactly. And as we get older, we're going through other experiences in our lives. But everything, you know, we have a lot more, I guess you could say, baggage, but we also have a lot more building blocks. We have all of those things with us that make the story more complex, and that's why I like writing these characters, because it's not just about love anymore. We've all fallen in and out of love. We've all had great jobs and not so great jobs. We've all had more money and less money. We've all had friendships that have been born and friendships that disintegrated, and all of those things make you a different person than you are at 20, and I just think it makes it a much better story both to imagine and to write and to read.
True. And I think, too, speaking to your Toni Morrison quote before, when you are this age, you want to read someone that has had those experiences. You don't always want to read about the ingenue or the person who is having these experiences for the first time. You want to read about the person that's had some experiences and let those experiences change her and develop her. And you're going to look at things differently than you would have. And I'm in an interesting predicament myself, because my father remarried and had a child when I was 23.
Mm.
So I don't know how old I was, but I was out of college. And so here I am at 47 with a 22-year-old sister.
Wow.
And I see those differences. You know, what she's going through, I can say, okay, been there, done that, kind of know how this story ends. you know, kind of know what you're going to get out of this experience because I've already gotten it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not that
yes.
her experience is going to be the exact same as mine, but you all know when you have someone younger, you've sort of been through that course or a similar course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've made those mistakes and you've hopefully learned from them. They've influenced you. They've changed you. And so when you read those stories about younger women, even when they're really good, they're, you have to kind of hearken back. They're not what you're experiencing now.
Yeah, you're certainly reading something that's both familiar and foreign. Familiar because you've already been that age and felt some of those things, and foreign because it's so far behind you that it, you know, it could be interesting, you know, especially a Hunger Games type thing. You know, there's a really good plot. But in terms of, you know, how that character feels and how she relates to her family and how she falls in love and what she feels like her duty to society is, those are things that I have a far different experience with and a far different appreciation of at, you know, almost 45 than I would at 17 or 18. And I don't know, I like reading stories about women my age and older because, again, part of the reason that we read is to be a little bit voyeuristic, you know, on other people's lives, but also to learn a little bit and about our own and how we can do things a little bit better. And not that I can't learn anything from someone younger, that's certainly not the case, but I do appreciate reading stories about women and men that are my age and older so that I can look and see how they're doing it and what I have to look forward to or what I'm supposed to completely avoid.
Yeah, you know, I was reading your book, I think it was the novella, Wild Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, she, you know, and her daughter is going over to Italy to, you know, work for this older, this gorgeous older man. And
yeah.
her mind is automatically went to, he's trying to get, you know, he's trying to go after my daughter. You know, and
yes.
I could totally see an older woman thinking that because you're thinking, okay, he's our age. Of course, she's young, she's pretty, he's after her. But he's thinking of her as as many older men do. You
yes,
know, not
yes.
as a conquest, but as somebody who's good for his business, someone that can learn, benefit from an experience. You know, not all older men are these, you know, vultures. But
well,
I
that's the other thing I like writing about in these books is that I want quality men in my life, and that means my husband, I think, is a quality man. My friends are quality men. My brothers are quality men. Those are the kind of men that I want to promote in my life. Now, of course, I have bad guys because you have to have bad guys in your books, but I love knowing for a fact that there are good men out there, and I am not of the man-bashing club that all the good men are gone or men are terrible and you're never going to find a good one. I am not of that club at all. And so as much as I like writing about these women who have all this experience and love to give and adventurous spirits, I love writing about those men too. Believe me, I love writing about those men.
Yeah, I mean, it gets kind of steamy. I'm like, wow, I need to meet some men like that. But, you know, it's interesting, and I appreciate it. The fact that when you wrote him, you didn't make him this vulture. He was a decent man looking for a decent, good woman in his age group.
Well, you know, we're all human. We're all human, and I think what we overlook so many times is that we're thinking it's an us against them kind of a thing. And really, when you strip it back, yes, we can all be jerks in certain ways, and yes, we can all be great in certain ways. But what it all comes down to is that we all want to be loved and accepted. We all want someone to spend time with and to grow old with. We all want someone who gets our stupid jokes and who allows us to be who we want to be without making fun of us. Well, making fun of us too much. And, you know,
yeah,
that's
some making fun of. It shows that they get you.
Exactly. But if that's what we're all looking for, it doesn't matter whether you're younger or older or good looking or average looking or tall or short or, you know, skinny or fat or what. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're all looking for those things. And I like writing characters and showing how much we are, you know, looking for that on the inside and how hard it is to be vulnerable, especially as you get older and you feel like you have more to lose in certain ways. I do love writing about that sort of courtship of humanity, whether you're talking about a friendship or a love relationship, and how we find it harder to open ourselves up to people when we get older. And I think that's a real shame because I think we get better at it as we get older.
You know, but I think as you get older, you find you open yourself up to people that deserve it.
You do, but I think that so many of us put up so many walls that it's hard to find those people that deserve it. I mean, we're making them jump through hoops before they even know why they should be jumping through hoops, you know?
True, true. We do make people do a lot of hoop jumping.
I
have a poodle.
So, I mean, it's a tough balance.
To be good
there's no real answer.
But, you know, I really appreciate your mature take. And I love the way, as I mentioned, it gets kind of steamy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that it can get kind of steamy for a woman over 40. You know, they say in Hollywood, actresses over 40, you're playing someone's mother. You know, you aren't as sexy anymore. But in a lot of times, this is the time to be sexy. You know,
I agree with that 100%. We know what to do with everything that we've got, and we aren't afraid to ask for it. And there is nothing sexier than a person who knows what they want and knows how to ask for it, whether you're a man or a woman. And that's what makes sex interesting, is that openness and vulnerability to another person, that offering and demanding that goes back and forth between a couple of, I want to please you, but I also want you to please me. And it takes sometimes decades for us to figure that little dance out and to both give what we want to another person, but also get what we need in return. And I think the 40s are the start of that for so many people, which is why I think the sex in the book is really important, because it shows that dance and that how you're moving together in that way. And I like showing women who know what they want and know how to ask for it. And I like showing men who do the same thing.
Yeah, there was that one elevator. I don't want to say too much, that one elevator scene that was really steamy. And I like the way she handled that, because she knew who she was. And that's, people that want to know what I'm talking about need to read the novella. Okay, and that is in the first one, The Unfolding.
Yes, Unfolding.
So
that's actually a free on Amazon right now. You can get it for free wherever it's sold. I just put that one out there so everyone can get a taste of what the late bloomer series is all about.
Yeah, you could. So I like that scene. That was, you know, that was a you go girl moment. But I really enjoyed those, and it's such a welcome change to be able to see not just romantic relationships, but friendships at this point in your life.
That's one of the things that was very important for me to address in this book. And it's the idea that you can't have these strong, wonderful, supportive relationships with other women as you get older, that the time has passed. You know, once you're out of high school or university, there's no more chance to make those kinds of friends, or we're all against each other as we get older. We're all fighting for the good men and the good jobs. And that is simply not true in my experience, not true in a lot of the women's experience that I know. And I thought, you know, instead of having this, a woman all by herself or someone who's against other women, I wanted to show what your life can look like if you have that supportive group of women. And, you know, it's changed my life. And I hope that people find that, you know, in the books, that this is something that they want more of in their life, too.
You know, and as you say that, I thought back to my little sister again, and she's one of those women. She's becoming one of those women. I don't trust other women. And I'm like, but, you know, it's like my best friend has been there for me since the fourth grade. And men have come and go. And while you're putting these men on a pedestal and deriding your girlfriends, it really should be the other way around.
I agree. I think anyone that you let in, well, when you let people into your life, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship, all about, you know, that person being, you know, trustworthy to be in your inner circle and then cultivating that relationship over time. And it's not a sex-based thing in terms of male-female. I mean, I think, you know, there are jerky women just like there are jerky men. But to stereotype all women or all men as a certain way is a real disservice to no matter who you are. It's a disservice to those people and it's a disservice to yourself because you can't just broad strokes, you know, against people
right.
like that because you're going to pay for it in the end because you're going to miss out on so many opportunities in your life for love and companionship and, you know, even career growth, knowledge, all of those things exist when you open yourself up to friendship, mentorship, and romantic relationships with other people.
You know, I told her, I said, you need to live your life by something I've lived my life by. And I simply call it the better test. And I apply it to friends, jobs, romantic relationships. Does this relationship make you better in some way?
Yes,
you make
that's a great
that
test.
Person better in some way. Because if the answer is no, or if you have to search to find the answer, then that person doesn't need to be in your life.
And I think of my go ahead.
Go on.
I was just going to add that I have a similar test, which I call the red velvet rope test. And so if I think of myself as the most exclusive club in town and I only want the best people to come into my club, I think, will my bouncer let this person pass my brain and my heart? Will I open the red velvet rope for this person? And that can be someone who's a friend. That can be a love interest. That can be a working relationship, you know, a business partnership. Does that person pass the test to get into this VIP club? And I think what makes it easier for me is that I allow the bouncer to do the dirty work. And so it's not really me. It's this little imaginary bouncer guy in my life that's deciding whether people are making it or not based on the criteria that I've given him.
Yeah, he's looking at his little clipboard.
Yes.
I'm going to use yours because I like that. It's more glamorous, and I like that.
But yours is simpler. See, I like yours. See, we're already learning from each other.
See, we are. See, you've passed my better test. So one day
you got in past my velvet rope.
Exactly. So one day when I'm in London, I'll come across the channel to see you in Spain.
That sounds great.
me and my British husband.
Exactly. Well, although, you know, there are a million expats from England who now live in Spain. So your English husband might actually be living in Spain.
And I speak Spanish. So this.
Well,
this
there you
is,
go.
So, yeah. So I'll come over because I'm going to read the books that you and your husband wrote, especially Dream Save Do, so I can go to England and now Spain and find my husband.
Very good.
So that's
well,
that's my thing.
Wine
so,
here.
So there's a plan. There's a plan. So I just got to figure out what I'm going to do with my dog because somebody said that you have to quarantine your dog for 6 months. But
I think it's true in certain countries, but I don't know all of them. I'm not sure on that.
So, yeah, so we have to find out what we're going to do with Jake the Wonder Dog. So, but, you know, Betsy, I could talk to you all day, but I'm going to end this show and let people know that the links to the Late Bloomer books as well as the website, Married with Luggage, are all in the show description. And
yes, and
Betsy,
anyone who wants to come to the site at BetsyTalbot.com, there's a free short story available for you there if you want to check out and see what things are like. And, you know, listen in to the weekly podcast where I talk about romance and all that good stuff every week. So plenty of options for anyone who's over 40 and looking for the kind of entertainment that women over 40 enjoy.
Right. Like, and if you're listening to this show, you should go over and listen to some of Betsy's stuff and read some of Betsy's stuff because you're her audience. Yes. I'm
yes. Come on over.
Listening to this podcast right now. So, Betsy, thank you. I'm going to have you on when you do your next book because I could talk to you all day.
That sounds great. Well, March is Tiger Lily, so I would love to come back in March and talk to you some more about Tiger Lily and her adventures.
The Late Bloomers series is a great way to see what love and self-discovery is like among women who have lived and loved a little bit and are still living and loving. So, fun reads. I enjoyed them. I know you will, too. And as always, get started, get it moving, and together, we'll get it together.
Now, I know you want more fun, feisty fabulousness, so subscribe to Get It Together Girl at getittogethergirlmedia.com. You'll be updated when new blog posts are uploaded, and you'll get my monthly newsletter. Just sign up at getittogethergirlmedia.com. And as always, dream big, sparkle more, and shine bright.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.